We are recording today on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Coast Salish and Kwakwaka'wakw peoples, including Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, Musqueam, and Comox First Nations. Hello and welcome to Love to Sew. I'm Caroline, the owner of Blackbird Fabrics and BF Patterns.
And I'm Helen, the designer behind Helen's Closet Patterns and Cedar Quilt Co.
We're two sewing buds who love to sew, and it's basically all we ever talk about.
In this episode, we share a bunch of lesser-known sewing notions. Have you heard of a curve runner? How about draw cord elastic? Monofilament thread? Zipper lubricant? We talk about all of these and lots more.
If you love to sew, this is your show. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Helen?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm so excited to learn about zipper lubricant today.
I was going to try to make like a notion pun or joke. Like,
oh,
I have a very vague notion of what we're going to talk about today.
I second that emotion. No, that's a different. I'm pretty sure the word notion is also in that song, but I can't remember the lyrics. If you've got the notion, I second that emotion. There you go.
Oh, there we go. Okay. I also use an app called Notion like every single day.
Me too. I love that app. Not sponsored by Notion, but Notion's the best. Sponsored,
but maybe we should be. No, truly, like, we use it so much at Blackbird. So big fan of Notion and Notions.
Yeah, Notion is a great app for organizing. It's like got lists, it's got calendars, it's got all sorts of organizational tools all in one place.
Yeah.
And it's pretty magical.
Databases, galleries. I mean, yeah. Anyways. Sponsor us, Notion.
Anyways, this is about a different kind of Notion.
Yeah. Okay, but before we get into it, we want to remind everyone about the best way to support the podcast, and that is by joining us over on Patreon or Apple Podcast subscriptions. If you do that, you'll get access to bonus content every month, and we have a ton of fun catching up with you all and each other on those more casual bonus episodes. A lot of the time, it's the first time we get to catch up all month, so everything is fresh and new and kind of hilarious, sometimes sad, sometimes.
It runs the gamut. We share what happened to us that month. We share behind the scenes of our businesses. We talk about our partners, our pets, all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It does mean so much if you're able to support us, even if it's just for a month or two. But if that is not in the cards for you right now, we totally understand. Thank you so much just for listening and cheering us on.
Yeah, thank you. And before we start talking about notions, we're going to answer a listener question. This one is from Christina. I made a pair of olive pants by Aura Lynn Patterns in a lovely dark green corduroy. They were a tad big from the start and I completely ripped them on the inner thighs. Therefore, I put them aside. Now I've lost some weight and I have to sew in all of my pants. And here comes my question. How do you, number one, repair the horrible ripping thigh rubbing area? And number two, take them in without distorting them?
Great question, Christina. Okay, we talked a little bit about this in the corduroy and velvet episode. Helen, you made a pair of olive green corduroy Brooks jeans, and they were super cute, but unfortunately, they kind of wore down in the inner thighs too, right?
Yeah, they did. They got really worn in the inner thighs, and eventually the seams actually just kind of came apart. And I did sew them and serge them, but I think it was just the fabric and that particular jeans fit was not like a good match, and they ended up just basically disintegrating in the crotch area. So what I did was I upcycled them into a skirt, kind of like a denim style skirt, and that takes the thigh friction issue completely out of the equation. So that's a cool option if you're not, you know, tied to the idea of keeping them as pants.
Yeah, but it is totally possible to mend them. Some of the best inner thigh repairs we've seen have been machine darned. That's what I always do when I try to repair the inner thighs of my jeans and other pants. So this is where you add another layer of fabric behind the worn out part, and then you sew lines of stitching back and forth across sit close together. And this holds both pieces of fabric together, and it's also really strong, so it should hold up quite well. And if you match the color of your corduroy with the backing fabric and the thread, it shouldn't be obvious when you're wearing it. The worn part is going to be in between your legs anyways, so most people don't look there or don't get to see that area. But obviously, it's not going to have the same texture as corduroy, so keep that in mind. But we'll link a tutorial by Threads about how to darn by machine in the show notes. Honestly, I don't even know if you need a tutorial. Like, no, maybe the visual, but there's so many ways to darn. Yeah, you just stitch the crud out of it. You just go back and forth and back and forth, and it works really well.
Yeah, it really does. I do this all the time, not just on corduroy stuff. Corduroy does tend to wear out if it rubs together, but linen as well gets worn out over time, and denim too eventually will get worn out. I do it on my pants and Sam's pants all the time.
One thing to keep in mind is that I find when you darn an area, it can become quite stiff, especially with all of the stitching. So think about what fabric you're using as a backing, making sure that it's not too heavy, because then it'll just end up being quite like cardboardy.
Yeah, it can feel like a lot at first, but honestly, you get kind of used to it, and it does soften over time because it starts to get worn down by your legs again. Thank you, legs.
Yeah. Thank you, legs.
Okay, let's talk about taking in the pants. It's a little hard to tell the best way to take in your particular pants without seeing them, but I think a good strategy would be to unpick the waistband and start the process of basting them and trying them on over and over until you like the fit. If you're able to take your pants in a little bit at the back waist seam, that's a good place to do it. You can add darts in the back. You can deepen those pleats in the front. I noticed this pattern has pleats, so that's a great thing to do. And that's going to change the pants quite significantly without having to mess with the pockets at the side seams or the fly at the center front. So try different methods for taking it in all the way around. And then you can take in the waistband at the center back, so that won't change the closures. Potentially you can reuse that waistband. Or if you have enough leftover fabric, you could even potentially cut a new waistband for these pants.
Yes. And if the crotch of your pants is hanging too low, there is a way to take that in as well. There's an article on the Sewing Garden that shows you how to do it, but it's pretty much impossible to describe here. So we're going to link it for you in the show notes.
Yeah. We wish you so much luck with this, Christina. You can totally do it. I've been on a bit of a refashioning kick lately, and it is very satisfying to take things that aren't fitting correctly and get them wearable again.
Oh, Helen, you are the queen of refashioning.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't do a ton of it. I have a pile a mile high of things I'd like to do.
I don't know. I feel like I've seen you refashion a lot of things, but maybe the princess of refashioning.
I'm the princess of refashioning. Thank you. I'll take it.
Okay, let's get into the topic of this episode. Today, we're going to share a bunch of lesser known notions that just might level up your sewing. We don't always get a chance to talk about some of the more niche notions on the regular pod, so we've rounded up a bunch of interesting ones, and we're going to introduce you to them today.
Okay, but first, like, what is a notion? What constitutes a sewing notion, in your opinion?
I know, it, like, as sewists, we're like, notions and trims and notions. What does it mean, though?
Yeah, what does a notion encapsulate? And I'm not sure if I have the exact answer, but it makes me think of all the little details, like tools, definitely, but also
I think about tools.
Embellishments, like special elastics and zippers and things, like specific single-use items that you need for very specific things.
Yes, I think of that too. I think of the tools. I think of the little trims and things. I also think of the more like utilitarian items that you need to make a garment, like buttons or elastics, drawstrings. Mm-hmm. So it's like an umbrella term for a lot of different things in sewing. All the side things, the accessories.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true, because it also includes like pins and needles and thread, which are very kind of generic, not necessarily super specific. So I guess I need to broaden my notion of what a notion is. Is it everything but the fabric?
Bits and bobs. Everything but the fabric. Yeah, well, is like interfacing a notion? I don't know. I guess interfacing would be a fabric.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Right? Unless it's one of those like plastic ones.
Yeah. It's all the things that you have to organize into like drawers and boxes.
Yeah, it's true. All the things you have to find homes for in your sewing room.
The bits and bobs.
Yes. But today we're going to be talking about ones that you've maybe never heard of. I certainly hadn't heard of quite a few of these on the list. So it was really fun to put this together. And the first one we're going to talk about is a curve runner. Curve runner looks like a rotary cutter, but it's actually a ruler that you can use to measure the length of curves. So it's handy if you draft patterns or regularly make pattern adjustments. You can just run the curve ruler over the edge you want to measure and you can see its length. There's a few examples of situations where this would be really useful.
Yeah, so if you're measuring your crotch length and want to compare it to the crotch length of a pants pattern, you could use a curve runner for that.
If you want to know how much binding you have, but you don't know how long your neckline is, you can use your curve runner to easily measure the neckline.
Mm-hmm. And if you need to make adjustments to the arm side on your bodice and sleeve, and you want to make sure that they match up, you can use that to measure. A flexible curve ruler can help with the same things. This is also great for drawing curves. One thing I'll mention about the curve runner is that it's not an endless length. Like, I think the one that we saw went up to 12 inches. So if you have to measure a length longer than that, you're kind of out of luck, right?
Well, you just have to do math, I think. Like, you watch it as it goes along. And then when it hits 12, then you start counting again. Like, Caroline, it goes 13, 14, yeah. 15.
I know, but like,
it's doable. Yeah, okay, it's doable. Fine.
You're right.
No, it is. It's true. It's not like it doesn't give you that final measurement like a tape measure does. And you can use a tape measure for curves too. You know, if you like kind of lay it out really carefully along a curve, you can kind of get the general idea. I think the curve runner is probably a little bit more accurate.
All right. The next one is an iron rest. And this is really helpful for people who have irons that automatically turn off when they're upright for a while. They're also good for people who just forget to set their irons upright. Are there people out there that forget to set their irons upright?
Yeah, it's, you know what? It's like if you're using an iron, like the Oliso irons, for example, they stay flat. And then you go to your friend's house and they have a one that you have to put up. It depends on what you're used to. And so you might forget or like if you go between sewing spaces and there's different types of irons. I find that really tricky because you get really used to whatever you have at home.
Okay, so you're the person that is leaving the iron.
Guilty as charged.
And burning holes into the ironing boards all across
leaving
the valley.
Leaving it face down. Yes, true. I'm sorry.
But yeah, so basically they're pads that are safe for high temperatures and you can set your iron down on them. And they might also save your arms from brushing against a hot iron plate and getting burned. I mean, I'm raising my hand because I have done that before.
Yeah, same. Definitely. That is one of the benefits of the ones that sit flat for sure.
Yeah. Okay, but not to already be questioning a notion, but like, wouldn't that, if you have your iron down all the time and it's one of the ones that stays hot, like, won't it just remain on and hot all the time? I don't know.
I mean, like, I think it really depends on the iron. The only one I really am that familiar with is, well, right now I have a Panasonic cordless, which I really like trying out different irons, so I like to switch them out. Right now I have a Panasonic cordless, which is cool. It has a docking station that it sits in. Okay. And the docking station is pretty much horizontal. But I think when it's in its docking station, it stays hot, but it doesn't turn off, you know? It's not like constantly like giving off steam, but it does stay hot and it doesn't turn all the way off unless it sits for like 10 minutes or something.
Right.
And then it will turn off. And then the Oliso one that I used to have like had a little motor on it that would pop up. So it like holds it an inch above the ironing board. And then when it's in that state, it doesn't produce like a ton of steam or anything. So I think it depends on the iron. Like I wouldn't recommend just willy-nilly leaving your specific iron on its face just in case it it got really, really, really crazy hot.
I think it could be dangerous. I've had the same iron for like 10 plus years now.
Yeah.
And boy, do I need a new one. I feel like we need to do an episode about irons. We haven't already.
We should. I know. But, well, I used to have that Black & Decker one too. And honestly, it's still one of my favorites. And I still have it. And I get it out sometimes because it's nice and heavy. And it's
nice and heavy.
And,
yeah. But I'm getting to the point where I've like launched it across the room so many times by accident that it sometimes stops working and I have to just like bang it against the ironing board to get it to turn on.
Oh my gosh.
I do need a new iron. But this one, steam is always on or always off. So if it's down, the steam is going. And so I don't think this would work for me. But anyway, That's not to make true. It about me, but
okay. How are you launching your ironing board or your iron across the room? I have to ask.
Okay, this is why maybe I need a cordless iron. It's because I'm like doing things quickly. I'm moving around, you know, and then I catch my foot on the cord. You know, like when you trip on a cord, I like trip on the cord, and the cord pulls the iron, and it goes foom. Across the
room. That is dangerous. Because that could like hit your body. Like, what if you fell down and the iron fell on your face?
Helen, I know. It's bad. I'm not proud.
You should get a cordless.
I should get a cordless.
The one I have right now is really nice. It's very lightweight. So if you have like mobility or hand holding issues, it's really nice for that. Super light. And yeah, it's pointy and it does a great job. It's very steamy. I like a lot of things about it. But yeah, it's kind of fun to try out different irons. But that's, you know, I run a business, so it's easy for me to just like swap them out every once in a while out of curiosity.
Yeah. All right, let's table that episode idea.
Yes, let's. We need to move on. We have so many notions.
I know. Okay, tell us what the next one is, Helen.
A hem stitch needle. And this is also known as a wing needle. And it makes beautiful, delicate hems with tiny little eyelets. It has a sharp tip and little wings on the shaft, which cut open the fabric. And you don't need any decorative stitches on your machine to use it. You can get a pretty result with just a simple straight stitch. It's very vintage inspired. It's got an heirloom look. And we do have a few tips for using it.
Yeah, so even weave fabrics with larger yarns like cotton and linen work really well with this technique. You also want to stabilize your fabric with spray starch, tearaway interfacing, or dissolvable interfacing.
And consider using a heavier thread, like a 60 weight embroidery thread, so your stitches are more visible.
Try out different decorative stitches to get different looks. Test on scraps before you start working on your main fabric. And there are also twin hem stitch needles as well.
Very cool. Yeah, Seamwork has a really cool guide to hem stitching with these needles that's helpful if you want to try it out. We'll link it for you in the show notes. It's a really pretty detail and one of those fun things that, yeah, you'd never know about until you saw it.
I really want to try this. I want to make like a little ruffly, creamy blouse with lots of like little heirloom details. I think this would be perfect for that. And probably use I feel like Silver Saga Patterns has some really good options for that kind of style. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay, next up is buttonhole elastic. Did you know, Helen, that you can buy elastic with buttonholes sewn down the middle?
I do now. And this notion inspired this whole episode because I saw this buttonhole elastic and I was like, whoa, 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 what? I've never seen that before. I'm like, how many other notions are out there that I've never seen before? So that was cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It can be used to make your pant waistbands adjustable. You would sew a button or two next to the side of the back seams on the inside of your pant waistband and then leave one end of the elastic sticking out of your back or side waistband seam. So kind of on the inside, right, of the waistband. Yeah. And then you can just make your elastic waist tighter or looser depending on how you're feeling that day just by fastening the elastic to the button. This is super awesome. I've also seen people do this on the back of ready-to-wear jeans. We'll link up a little video in the show notes, perhaps. But yeah, it's kind of like when you add an elastic to the back waistband of a pair of pants, but it's adjustable even further because you have that opening and you can button it. I will say, Helen, this rang a bell and I looked up, we talked about this notion in our elastic episode, which was 5 years ago, if you can imagine.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
A lot's happened since then. So I don't blame you for forgetting.
The pandemic made me forget about buttonhole elastic. Okay.
Yeah. But it's very, very cool. I think it could be really useful, especially for folks who have like weight fluctuations or body sensitivity to things like elastic or you can just definitely adjust based on how you're feeling that day.
Yeah, for sure. Or whether or not you're sitting or standing even, you know, like it makes such a difference to be able to adjust. Okay. Yes. Next up, the notion of the episode, zipper lubricant. It is exactly what it sounds like. It makes kind of janky, sticky zippers work smoothly again. It's a colorless, waxy lubricant that comes on a stick like a crayon. You rub it against the zipper teeth, and then you pull your zipper up and down a few times to distribute it. There are other options like WD-40 or oil, and those might stain your clothing. So that's why it's better to use this zipper lubricant. Also, WD-40 cannot be used on plastic, so keep that in mind as well. And there's several options out there for purpose design zipper lubricants. Wawak sells one, Drit sells one, and you can even buy a combo zipper cleaning and lubricating kit called Zippy Cool. I'll link that in the show notes for you.
Zippy Cool. Wow. I'm feeling pretty zippy cool today.
I like this idea because I do find like I have a few zippers on hoodies and stuff that are just old and janky, mm-hmm. and this would probably help a lot.
I know. I'm also thinking of like when your friend or family member is like, can you fix this zipper for me? Because it's like sticky or it's not working properly. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to just like whip out a zipper lubricant and be like, this is what you need.
We need keychain zipper lubricants. Yeah.
Okay. Next one is that you can sew with thread cones on your regular machine if you have a thread stand. So these are also called cone holders, and they have a heavy base, a spindle for your cone to stand on, and a longer metal piece that raises the thread to the height of the top of your sewing machine. And then you just thread your machine like usual. If you already have a thread cone on hand, this is a really good way to use what you have.
Yeah, I have one of these and I really like it because I bought some larger spools of black thread, white thread, gray thread, things that get used a lot in my sewing room. And so I always use my thread cone stand when I'm doing that. But you can also DIY one of these thread stands using a coffee mug, some tape, and a safety pin. Tape the safety pin to the side of your machine near where the thread spindle is, and then make sure the bottom is sticking up over the top of the machine. Put your thread cone in the coffee mug at the side of the machine, and then pull the thread through that little loop at the bottom of the safety pin. Then you can thread your machine as usual and it will all work smoothly. If you're having a hard time visualizing this, we're going to link a video up in the show notes.
Ooh, okay. I feel like this is one of those things that it's like very useful. Everyone should have one.
Right? And so if you don't even have one, you can make one. It's true. You can use your serger cones. Serger thread is not quite as strong, but like in generally it works fine for sewing mm-hmm. garments. So do it.
Yeah. Okay, draw cord elastic is waistband elastic with the cord already inserted. This is made of knitted elastic, which stays the same size when stretched, and it also doesn't lose strength when pierced by a needle, so it's really good for top stitching. And this elastic has a channel in the middle where the drawstring is. The cord expands to get longer than the elastic. Draw cord elastic is best for applications where the string will remain inside the garment, since it's not the cutest, but it's super functional. You usually see them in sweatpants. I think it could be nice to cinch in the hem of a cropped hoodie too. Melly Sews has an article about how to insert it that we'll link up for you. But yeah, you know, any kind of pants that have the elastic on the inside, I feel like this mm-hmm. would be a great solution.
Oh, 100%. And we're working on a sweatpants pattern right now. And I did not know that this existed. And I'm super excited to try it out because definitely putting that cord on the inside of these pants. And this would be a really easy way to have your elastic and your cord all in one. It's so much faster. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Love it.
Applique grips are non-slip stickers that you can put on the back of applique templates, rulers, or anything else you don't want slipping around while you're tracing or cutting. You can also use them on stuff like picture frames and figurines that might get knocked over by curious cats. Caroline, no joke, I put some applique grips on my ruler last night. Like, what? I had some in my stash and I was doing some trimming because I'm working on a quilt and I was using a ruler I don't usually use and it was so slippy, slipping everywhere. I was getting so annoyed and I was like, oh, I have those little sticker things that I got at QuiltCon and I got them out. They're the applique grips one. And I stuck them on and works like a treat. They're just like little silicone stickers, basically.
Okay, this is definitely a problem I have, especially when I'm cutting bias tape from fabric. And you know, when you're cutting and like you're like going along and then your ruler just like slips slightly and then you go off course and you have to start over because it's like such a skinny piece of fabric anyways. This would solve that problem. I love
it. It's so true. Yeah, it's a good one. It does make your ruler sticky, so then they don't slide around on your fabric in the same way they did before. So it's like benefits and drawbacks. Keep it in mind.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Loop pressing bars are flat sticks in different widths that you can slide into straps and ties so that they're easier to press. Have you ever made a fabric tube where the seam curls around and the seam allowance bunches up inside? These can actually really help with that. So here's how you use them. You're going to sew your tube and then before you turn it out, you slide the pressing bar inside and it holds the fabric taut while you press the seam allowance open. And then if you've ever tried to do this without a pressing bar, you know that it can be tricky to get the fabric to keep from wrinkling and crumpling. And then you can turn the loop out and slide the bar back in to give it a final press. It ends up looking really neat. And as a bonus, the pressing bars can also be used to insert elastic or cords. This is really cool because I definitely have that problem with little skinny straps and things where it gets twisted and it's like you kind of have to like rub it between your fingers to get things to like lay flat. Like it totally never quite works.
And you end up burning your fingers because you're like trying to get in there at the tip of the iron.
Oh my gosh. That's why you get those little tiny finger gloves. Do you have those?
Oh, no, but I've seen like those little silicone finger covers. Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah. I do, when I use those, I feel like a dog that's wearing like booties, you know, like I don't know how to use my fingers when they have little gloves on them, but they do work well for stopping burns.
Yes, that is so true. I love the idea of the loop pressing bars though, and I really like pressing tools. I have a little iron caddy and I have a bunch of cool pressing tools that I like to whip out for specific things. So I got to add these to my arsenal.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some specialty threads. First up, we have Saraflex thread by Mettler. This is a stretch thread that you can use with a straight stitch. It has 65% stretch and you can use it in a regular sewing machine. Use it for both the upper thread and the bobbin. You'll need to wind the bobbin with as little tension as possible. Maria Denmark recommends skipping one of the tension guides for bobbin winding if your machine has a few of them. I've also seen people do it by hand, but you do have to be careful to maintain very even tension with this. And you wanna sew slowly and lower the upper thread tension for the best results. We're going to link up Maria Denmark's article all about this because she tested out the thread with different stitch lengths and tension settings. And if you're going to use Saraflex, it's a good idea to do your own tests on some scrap fabrics so you can see which settings are working best for you. I really want to try this. Have you ever used Saraflex, Caroline?
No, I haven't. It's very cool. I definitely have the issue of like hems on knits. When you stretch them too much, they pop. And I find that really frustrating. So many of my knit tops have that problem. So this would be a really cool solution.
Yeah, you can use it for sewing, like you said, hems on knits or just knits in general would be nice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to switch to a zigzag. Maybe you have a machine that doesn't have a zigzag, like a really old vintage one. This could be a good way to get around that and still sew with knits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so woolly nylon thread is another stretch thread that you can use on a regular machine with a straight stitch. It looks soft, thick, and loose when it has no tension on it, but when it's tensed up, it shrinks to the size of regular thread. It's typically used as a looper thread in serged garments that need a lot of stretch. It makes the seam allowance softer against the skin as well. Sarah from Blue Susan Makes has a couple of tips for using it in a regular sewing machine for both the top and the bobbin threads.
Yeah, so firstly, you want to load the spool sideways on your machine rather than up and down. Then the thread can pull freely off of the spool without stretching out.
Yeah, and you're going to lower the tension and wind your bobbins with as little tension as possible, just like with the Saraflex thread.
Even though both these threads can be used in a similar way, they do have some differences. A woolly nylon thread is less strong than Saraflex thread. It's also cheaper. The woolly part refers to how it looks like soft wool roving when it's not under tension. It's kind of fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. And Saraflex thread is made to be as strong as regular all-purpose thread. It's very smooth and it's more expensive than woolly nylon.
These are both really cool options for sewing neat finishes on stretch fabrics. And if you have any other tips for using these threads, we'd love to hear them. So reach out. We're not regular users of these stretchy threads. But if you sew a lot of knits, I think this would be an interesting area to explore.
Yes. Okay, this next one is really cool too. It's shearing elastic. So this is used to make shirred waistbands without any elastic thread in your bobbin. So it's made of rows of narrow rubber elastic sewn together in like a mesh grid. So here's how you're gonna sew it in. You're gonna mark out where you want your waistband to go, one line on top of the elastic and one line on the bottom. And then sew your elastic into a circle and mark the quarter points. Mark the quarter points on the waistline of your garment too. And then pin the elastic to the garment at those quarter points.
Then you're going to sew the top of the elastic on with a straight stitch and regular thread using the line you marked as a guide. Pull the elastic gently so the fabric is taut as it goes through the machine. You're going to be sewing in the space in between the rubber elastic lines on that grid. So do the same from the bottom of the elastic and now sew a few lines in between the top and bottom, spacing them out evenly.
It's pretty easy. For a better visual, there's a reel by Belle Toile on Instagram that shows you just how to do it. So we're going to link that in the show notes. And I think you could use shirred elastic for other applications as well. Like maybe you could use a smaller piece to cinch in the back of a roomy dress, or you can make some cute scrunchy straps for a sundress, or maybe even like a whole shirred back panel. I've never seen this before. It's very cool. It gives a really nice effect. And I think as long as you're like really marking the almost like box that it needs to go into so that when you're sewing it on, it's easy to line up. I think it could work super well.
Yeah, something really satisfying about having it all like stuck together in this grid format so you don't have to mess with all these like little pieces of elastic.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have smooth floors like hardwood, linoleum, or tile, you probably know how annoying it is when your sewing machine pedal slides all over the place. How much time do we spend feeling around for it with our toes and pushing it back into a good position with our feet? Every time I sit down on my machine, I have to hunt for my sewing foot. Oh, yeah. And I do think about that video that I made with Sam where he like painted his arm green and then he was like the machine monster.
I know. I thought about that too when I read this, and that is a hilarious video. We should link it up in the show notes. But I can absolutely relate. I'm always feeling around on the ground for that pedal. It's never where I want it to be.
I know. So and people have been recommending that I get exactly this Notion for years and I still haven't gotten one. But the Pedal Stay Non-Skid Pedal Holder is a non-skid plastic mat with a square of soft Velcro on top. So you put your pedal in the position you like, you attach it to the Velcro square with the included Velcro strips. It's repositionable and it won't damage your floors. So this is a really good option.
And if you want to DIY a non-slip pedal pad, we're going to link up a couple of tutorials for you. You just need some fabric scraps and some non-slip shelf liner. Honestly, you could probably just cut out a square of non-slip liner and put it underneath your pedal, but the ones that are bound with fabric and have a little bumper to keep your pedal from moving forward are super cute. So we'll link those up.
Yeah. Next up, we have Snag Repair Needles.
Snag Repair Needles have a ballpoint on one end and a textured surface on the other end. So you're going to insert the needle in the middle of the snag and pull it through until you get to the textured part. And then you wrap the snag around the textured part of the needle and pull it through to the inside of the fabric. Make sure to be gentle so that it doesn't pucker the fabric. And then you unwind the snag from the needle and you can just leave it on the inside. By the way, the Dritz version of the snag repair needle is called the Snag Nabbit. How cute is that?
Very cute. Yeah, this would be super handy. I've definitely tried to just take a regular sewing machine needle and poke a snag through to the wrong side. Yeah. And it's not very efficient. So I think having some texture on there would make a lot of sense. You can use a regular needle and some thread for better results. Thread the needle and then insert it into the center of the snag. Tie the end of the thread to the snag and then pull the needle through until the snag is on the inside of the garment. And then either untie the thread you used or just trim off the ends to release it. Just be really careful not to cut the snag, because then you're going to end up with a hole, which is a bigger problem.
Yeah. A problem that has solutions. You can mend it, but yeah.
That's definitely true. Let's talk about mending.
Next up is rayon seam binding tape. This is a good way to finish seams or hems without adding bulk. Cotton tapes are thicker and polyester doesn't press as well as rayon. The nice thing about tape is that the edges are completely finished, so there's no need to turn under any raw edges, and it has zero stretch, so you can use it to stabilize seams as well. Martha May Porter, who's Buried Diamond on Instagram, made a reel where she used it to finish the edges of a zipper and the seam allowance underneath all at once. She pressed it in half and then hand basted it on before sewing the final stitches by machine. And you can use this tape to sew really lightweight, non-bulky hems, or you can sew it into the shoulder seams of your knit garments to keep them from stretching out. By the way, there's a brand of rayon seam binding called Hug Snug. There are a lot of cute names for the notions in this episode.
Yeah. The sewing world loves a good cute name or pun, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too.
This is super handy. I do like the idea of having this tape on hand to finish the edges of things, or like we were saying, to stabilize seams. Really useful for that. So I'm going to get some of this.
Agreed.
Okay, good lighting is really important in your sewing space. And when we made our episode with Rose Parr all about ergonomics, she impressed that on us especially. So you don't want to strain your eyes, but a lot of sewists don't have a dedicated sewing space and it's not always easy to reconfigure the lighting in the room where you work. Madam Sew makes a really cool LED strip that sticks onto your sewing machine. You attach it to the curve on the underside of your sewing machine and it lights up the area you're sewing really nicely. There's a switch attached to the plug so you can adjust the brightness or turn it on and off without unplugging it. You can trim the strip with regular scissors to fit your machine. It also comes with cord clips to keep it out of the way of your sewing machine. And you can probably DIY your own LED strip situation. There's lots of LED strip lights out there. But if you only need a small amount, the Madam Sew options seems like a pretty good deal, and it's designed for sewists in mind, so that's cool.
Ooh, I definitely need more lighting in my sewing space. Just, I have lots of little lamps, but I need brighter lights. I need more like targeted light.
Specific. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, there's nothing worse than like trying to unpick something where you can't see the threads and you have to put it really up close to your face.
I know. You could get one of those neck lights. I've seen some sewists wear those in their sewing room. Smart. And then you can like turn it on when you need to unpick or do something close to your face.
Very cool. All right. This isn't a super niche notion for quilters, but it might be for garment sewists. Thread cutters are little discs that have slots where there are recessed blades. Quilters use them for chain piecing, which is where you sew a bunch of pieces without cutting the thread after each one. And then after you finish your chain of pieces, you use a thread cutter to separate them. But garment sewists can do it too. It's especially good for assembly line batch sewing. You'd be surprised how much time you can save. Our favorite thread cutters are by Feral Notions, which has so many amazing tools and stickers and decorations. Their thread cutters are made to use with your rotary cutter blades that are no longer good for cutting fabric. And they have the cutest shapes, retro flowers, sawtooth stars, a sun with clouds. These would make really cute gifts too. And we're gonna also link an article about how to chain so garments. Helen, I have a suspicion that you have one of these.
I do. I do. And I love it. I do use it mainly for quilting because I feel like if it's only like three or four clips in between a chain, I'm happy to get my scissors out for that. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I'm quilting, sometimes I'll have 20 and then it's really fun to get out this little cutter and just like go along the line with these little pieces. But I do think it's just one of those really cute tools that's fun to have in your sewing room. And the Feral Notions one are like the cutest. I would love to have one of those.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Gift idea.
Totally. Next up, we have a thread pick. This is a tiny, teeny, tiny metal hook. You can slide the pick between stitches and layers of fabric so you can grab threads that are in the wrong places. Quilters use it to pull threads to the inside of a project or pull out unwanted stray threads that get caught in between the fabric and the batting. Garment sewists can use them to hide serger tails into a seam, and they can also be used as a tool for holding fabrics in place as they go through the machine, kind of like a little extra finger. I remember we talked with Sarah Mee Duffy about her favorite sewing tool, the awl. And she uses it at her machine as like an extra finger to guide fabric through. So this would be a similar kind of deal.
Mm, yes. The next notion sounds similar, but it's not the same. It's called a thread pig, also known as a thread bunny or leader. If you have issues with your fabric getting sucked down into the machine when you start a seam, you can butt a small piece of fabric up against your main fabric and start on that, just like chain piecing. And you can use the same scrap over and over. I think this one has the cutest name of all. Little thread piggy.
Little thread pig. And this is not a notion you need to purchase at all. Do not buy a thread pig. You just need to use some scrap fabric from your sewing bin. And I know you have that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got another one for quilters because I couldn't resist. This one is so cool. A slotted ruler. This is an acrylic ruler that has long slots where you insert your rotary cutter and you cut straight lines. And it's really handy for cutting strips, which quilters usually use for binding. But we do that a lot in garment sewing too. Drawstrings, straps, bias binding, waistbands. I could go on. You get the idea. It's like a giant piece of plastic with a bunch of lines cut into it. And it's very fun. A really popular one's called the Stripology ruler.
Ooh, how big is it? Like,
it's very big. Yeah.
Oh, it's very big. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very large ruler, but that can be handy too because you can use it. Like, I like to use my large rulers as pattern weights sometimes. Like, I'll stick them on big pattern pieces to weigh things down, or obviously cutting out large squares and stuff for bag making is really handy. So, yeah, can't hurt to have a big ruler around.
Okay, next up, Madame Sew sells fantastic elastic, which can be cut lengthwise to make different widths. So typically it's not recommended to cut elastic lengthwise. A lot of them are going to fray and fall apart. We looked into it and it seems like many knitted elastics can be trimmed widthwise. You just have to cut carefully in between the ribs. These are the same instructions that Madame Sew gives for the fantastic elastic. So you can test this out on a small piece of your knitted elastic to see if it works for you. Just make sure not to try it on woven or braided elastic, because it's not going to work on those.
Yeah, I've never cut an elastic lengthwise and I'm scared to try. But yeah. This is so cool, like specifically designed to be cut down. Then you can basically have whatever width of elastic you need on hand all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got one last notion for you. Transparent monofilament thread is a finer version of fishing line. It's made of nylon, it's clear, and it's made of a single piece. Regular threads are made of twisted yarns that can be split apart. So that's what monofilament means. It's one filament or one thread. Because of this property, it's really great for basting your projects. Have you ever sewn over your basting stitches and then when you go to remove them, they get stuck in the final stitching? Well, that doesn't happen as much with monofilament thread. The needle pushes it aside rather than piercing it. You can use it on the machine or baste by hand. And pro tip, if you're using it for hand basting, you can reuse the same thread over and over again. Some other uses of transparent monofilament thread include invisible quilting, top stitching on multicolored fabrics, and making invisible repairs on hard to match fabrics. Good luck finding it though, am I right?
Oh my gosh, yeah, you wouldn't want to unpick some monofilament thread.
You don't even have to, it just disappears.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay, Helen, what notion are you most excited about after we chatted about all these different notions in this episode?
Oh, I think the drawstring elastic, because that's very like in line with what I'm working on right now for our pattern. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to go and get some of that and experiment with that and maybe make some tutorials for our community around that.
Cool.
Yeah,
how about you? Mine is the like foot pedal grippy thing, because my foot pedal just, she slips and slides every which way.
All over the place. I don't know. All I think yours place. Needs to be the cordless iron that wasn't even a part of the episode.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Safety first.
Stay tuned. I'm going to gun for an iron episode in the next season.
I love it. We could definitely do that. And then we could maybe try out a few different ones. That would be fun.
Yeah, totally. Let us know about your favorite underappreciated notions. And happy sewing, everyone.
Happy sewing. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Helen, at Helen's Closet Patterns and Cedar Quilt Co., and Caroline at Blackbird Fabrics and BF Patterns. We're recording today in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
You can support Love to Sew and get access to bonus content by subscribing on Patreon or Apple Podcasts. You even get access to the back catalog of bonus episodes. That's over 75 hours of Love to Sew. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew or check out our podcast page on Apple Podcasts for more info.
Head to Love to Sew podcast.com to find our show notes. They're filled with links and pictures from this episode. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can leave us a message at 1-844-SEW-WHAT. That's 1-844-739-9428, or send us an email at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com.
Thanks to our amazing podcast team. Lisa Ruiz is our creative assistant and Jordan Moore of the Pod Cabin is our editor. And thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.